been, and maybe some of the people you remember when you were growing up, Mrs. Greer?
Do you want me to start? Well, I grew up in the little town of Jarrettsville, and my father was a country doctor there.
Mr. Corey now. It's going along, yes.
It is?
Oh, see, I didn't want to make a big issue. That's the only... I just try to sneak it in there. And see, because that makes people so nervous.
No.
And so...
Is it being recorded now?
Yes. I hate to make an issue of being...
You should have kept quiet because you know it is recording. back in the... I guess I can remember back to about 1910. I may be 2 years old. I was born in 1904, and we moved to Jarrettsville. My father went there as a country doctor and practiced until he was nearly 75 years old. And he used to drive a horse and buggy, and we kept a man to drive him and to take care of the chores around. And we had two horses. One year old.
Oh yeah, that's fine. That's what we like.
One horse was a thoroughbred, and her name was Bess, and he had Lazarus. He had sores on him when we bought him, so my father named Lazarus. And it's written up in there. Get called out in all kinds of storms and snowstorms, electrical storms, and all night long. Mm. And then, maybe a couple nights when babies were delivered, he'd work around the clock, and it was quite a country life. I can remember, too, when we used to ride in the sleigh in the wintertime, and we could go right across the fences. if the snow was so deep from the crust on it. So,
How about your brothers and sisters?
I had two brothers and a sister. I had a sister living, and one brother is just has deceased. Two brothers. Yes, one went to college, Washington College and University of Maryland Law School, and he worked with the News American as a sports editor, I think. And then he went to New York, and he was sports editor of the New York Post. And he also wrote two books, and but three books.
Mm-hmm.
One was Such Was Saratoga, and the other was Havana in Cinderella City. They weren't bestsellers, but they were very fine books.
Mm-hmm.
And he died from that's what 20 years ago.
No, he died. He died in 1974.
And Nelson was next when he was born in 1905, I think.
1964.
And my sister's still living, and she lives up in Kyleville. Her name's Ann Kent. I graduated Jarrettsville High School, went to the University of Delaware, and was married to in 1924, while I was still in college, graduated in 1925, and we lived in Philadelphia. Then we had our children. We have had five children, five girls. The last one, the oldest one is Beth Carroll, who is 60 years old. The next one is Eleanor Lee, at 59 years old. And the next one is Carolyn Fett, who lives in Philadelphia. The other two live in Perryman and Madeline. And then we had...
She's 56.
56 years old. And then 18 years later, we had another daughter. We had that daughter in between there, too, who lost her at birth. Then we had this other daughter, 18 years after the first family. And we have 11 grandchildren. And we lost one, Kristen Lee, of cancer a couple of years ago. She was 33. And we have now was it eight or nine great-grandchildren, a twins expected. Dan Lee, who runs the only is going to have the father, the big father, these twins. And most of all the children had college education, and we have lived in Philadelphia. I think we've lived about 9 or 10 times since we've been married. In Philadelphia, Delaware, Baltimore, Towson, and we lived in Perryman, and we lived in Calvin Grove in Darlington. And that lovely old stone house on the creek. And then we built this house up here on the hill about 12 years ago. And Bill can tell you about his work, but not, I don't know what else you want me to tell.
Well, what was it like just growing up in Harford County?
We had a schoolhouse, and I think it had two rooms upstairs in it. And two rooms down, upstairs is the high school in Jacksonville. And they downstairs, so we had classes scattered all over one or two floors. And we used to have to walk to school, and some of the children had to walk, I would say, 4 miles or 5 miles. And a great many of the children, particularly from over on the manor, would come and leave their horses. And the 80 family down at Sharon, they used to drive a ferry, and because they had good many children, and they would leave in the front of the stable. We had Joe Cassidy's father used to go to high school at Jackson, and he lived way up in the St. Mary's Church, and he used to leave his horse down in their place. Not a great many of them would leave their horses at our place, and my mother used to take him in the morning and give him some hot cocoa before he had to walk another. I guess he walked that half mile to school. Something like that. But some of the children have to walk, gosh, nearly 4 or 5 miles. They take them all around the country. They didn't have transportation unless they had their own in those days. Because we were about the third the family, I think, to have an automobile. In Jackson, we had an old Model T Ford. And we used to pile in, and it had a top that went back, so we'd sit on the, some of the children, if we were going someplace, we'd sit on the top would go down, we'd sit on the, hold on to the, sit in between the top wheel and the back part of the car. We had a country store, because our nearest store was to go to Bel-Air, I guess. And for the country store, they supplied us with most things, except fresh oranges and fresh bananas all the time. And we had train service then. We had the old Ma and Pa train, which used to run up into Pennsylvania. It was a beautiful ride. You'd go down to either Sharon or Forest Hill and take the train. But early in time, too, if mother could get the horse and buggy, she would drive down to the station at either Baldwin or Charleston, I think it was. And if we were a little bit late, we'd go in on the milk train to do shopping in Baltimore at Christmas time and when the lady closed. And we'd pull up and the train would be pulling in and buddy would say, throw the reins down and say, Mr. Connie, here, I'll be back on the 5 o'clock train or whatever it was, and that's how we used to do our shopping. And we could go through all the woods and play, without any harm. Nobody harmed you. You could wander all day long if you wanted to, children. Then we had an ice pond where they used to cut the ice in the winter time, and then we had an ice house, and they'd bring this ice in. And we store it, and then there was a rope in there. As the ice went down, you had this rope and tongs, I think, and you pull it up and use it for your house. I guess it was clean, all this good. But we stayed all in the wintertime, and we used to have cold winters in those days.
It'd be nice to keep watermelon.
Yeah. You wanted a watermelon, you put it down there in the summertime. You wanted to make your own ice cream, because the ice cream wasn't really available. I remember the store on weekends, the little store in Garrettsville, they used to have some ice cream, and they had penny ice cream cones you could go and buy. But that would be only on Saturdays. I think the stores and business places were not open on Sunday, except my father worked every day in the week. Which the doctors really don't do these days. Health was easy to get in those days, and I think you paid them about $1 a day, and you just had help from the family, and I think they got about $12 or $15 a week, I guess it was, and that's what they're paying. Most of them lived in, we had one black family. I think they had about 17 children, and the neighborhood used to laugh because they said Mrs. Bradley trained them. As soon as they got trained, they went up to Philadelphia or Pennsylvania someplace and got another job, and then they take another one on and train it, and then they got leave. And entertainment, they used to have the county minstrel, and that was one pleasure during the year. Was getting up early in the morning to get the best minstrel tickets to go to the minstrel show. There was a town hall, I think it's the Knights of Columbus had it, and that was their entertainment. And then a lot of the activities that centered around the churches too. We'd have Children's Day, and we'd go to Sunday school, but the churches were, you know, the church next to us. And an interesting thing about that too, my father was a Catholic, and my mother was an Episcopalian. We had a Methodist Sunday school next to us, so we all went to Methodist Sunday school. So when we grew up, I don't know what the other children did, my brothers and sisters, but I married a Presbyterian and became a Presbyterian. But there were two Methodist churches in the neighborhood, and we were always very friendly with all the children. And they would come in and get books because we always had a great many books in the family. And one family particularly, I know that maybe everybody would be out someplace and we'd come home, and maybe we would find Bill up on the bed and whether it's a bookcase. I'm on the bed reading a book. Neighbor, the minister's dad taught the children. Let's see what else I can think about this morning here.
Did you hear your father's name?
Oh, no. My father, well, he has it here. My father was Dr.
U.S.
Bradley, and he was born in Ireland, and he came over to his mother, I don't know what year, and one sister. And his father was killed. He was in served the English Navy, and he was saving somebody at sea, and he was killed. And I understand there's I don't know how to size statue, someplace near wherever it was, in his honor, in England. In Ireland?
I think that's
in
Glasgow, wasn't it?
No, I thought it was in the English Navy. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it was in there. I don't know. I missed that part of the family history. But my mother was German descent, and she came from Washington, family in Washington. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, her nephew, a son, was Charlie Schultz, he's made quite a name for himself.
Mr. Brown, how about some of your childhood experiences before you moved to Harford County? What were some of them?
Oh, yeah. Let me think. 62, and he died in 63.
Well, you get busy on what you want to tell. Tell about your family, the pain, your body, the pain of your father, my brother's crying, him crying. You have to tell him your family.
Yeah, he asked the question about my childhood, and I don't know.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
And I think you thought out with the family history and going to your family. Right?
Well, yeah, so I just asked the question maybe to get you thinking, you know. It doesn't matter where you start or anything.
Okay, is that turned on now?
I have to start it.
I was born and raised in Milford, Delaware. Remember, I had a brother and a sister. It was a large family. My father had five brothers, and with two children per family, most of them. One of them had two. My childhood was a lot of fun, but quite uneventful. We had a pond in town that we used to ice skate, and did the normal things that kids do as children. We used to walk the railroad track on Sunday because we couldn't do anything else. You couldn't roller skate, you couldn't ride your bike, and it was very dull on Sunday, except during the church, Sunday school, and Christian endeavor. I left, my father had a business there, the LB Truck Company, and after I graduated from high school and the University of Delaware, I went to work for Standard Oil Company, which is now Exxon. And I worked there for 14 years and finally resigned and started business of my own in Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. 1938. And from that point on, I started and began business until 1981. And I sold the business, and what you might last me call retired.
Yeah.
And the name of the company that I had was the Gear Oil Company. We handled gasoline, fuel oil, motor oil, and so forth. We've been married for 62 years. Oh yeah, incidentally, I was married when I was 24 years old. And I took this young girl out of the college and married her. I was stuck. And we had a very happy life together. And,
Well, that's
great.
I went down to the flying pub.
I belong to the Masonic Order and the Boomer Temple. The St. Andrew Society and the Episcopal Church. Have I mentioned that?
I don't know.
Anyway. And my ancestors were peddlers, Scots or English. And my ancestors were a member of two Scottish clans, the McGregor and the Hume. mother and father were lived in Milwaukee until they died. I think this must be irrelevant, really. This is in Maryland. And I'm interested in the in Aberdeen, and became president of that president alone. And then we joined with the Atlantic Federal President alone, a large institution in Baltimore. At the time, still was working.
So, what caused you to move to Harford County from Delaware?
I moved because I got a job in New York with the same, what was then called the Standard Oil Company of New Jersey. And after I got the job there, I was transferred immediately to Philadelphia. And from Philadelphia, I was moved to Delaware and lived in New York, Delaware, for 2 years. And then moved to Boulder, Delaware, lived there for 3 years, and then transferred to Baltimore, and then I moved for 3 years, at this time, not 4 years, and at this time I resigned. Because if a county grows, you know, the next part of town must be the boom. And that's because that's in my life is in more of an adventure.
Now, when you two were, I guess you could call it, I'm not sure if this is the right term, courting action, what type of things should they do? Like movies or ice cream parlors?
We had more than you did. We had East Cuff and Nick. They were black and white and very fast moving. They had tours, like tours of Pauline and the Million Dollar Mystery. There were two of them. In my mind, were outstanding. It was finished week to week. And we're always interested to see what the next episode is going to be, whether the hero died or lived and so forth. And another thing, too, back then we used to have what they call ice cream parlors. They were rather sparse. The wireframes thing, and sodas, which I can smell now. Now it isn't for my wife, but I don't even have anything like that.
It's just a small bird. I'll have to the garden type.
I used to go walking with my grandfather, one of my grandfathers, and then after walking for like 2 or 3 miles, we'd come back to town, and he would stop in and buy me ice cream soda or mixer, and that was a very memorable occasion. I didn't mind walking 3 or 4 miles just to get biscuits.
Well, we used to have dances there in this place at Christmas time.
Oh, yeah, that's another story there, too. What you might call our social life was quite memorable. We saw at Christmas time, we had dances in Delaware, and about four or five different towns under the holiday, go from one to the other during the Christmas holiday. And they were very, very enjoyable. Dancing then was a lot different from dancing today, but a whole lot prettier. And more memorable. As far as my business experience is concerned, I used to have salary jobs, and I think I always had a job, either in a grocery store or a men's clothing store. And except for summer jobs, I worked in the old Hamilton Hotel in the Hobbit for 3 years. And that happened to be the best job I ever had. Three dances, four in lodging, and not much money. But, yeah, I used to make $75 a month and board and lodging free and all the good times. It was nice driving. Met an awful lot of people from Washington and Baltimore.
Maybe you know this. After the dances, what type of dress did they have? The music?
I think they wore many blouses most of the time, particularly after we got up in high school. We didn't wear uniforms at school at all. We had long black stockings we wore and high lace shoes. And we had very few, I think, red dress, back then, a ginger dress, just with our lady. And he's older, but I remember his pictures were kind of straight. And we stayed in the wintertime. But we always had these acoustic skirts. I fell in the pain one time and I had been telling not to go. My mother was out with my father and I fell in and my acoustic skirt froze on me before I got home. So I instead of being sold by the girls, they were very tender to take care of me to see how I got pneumonia. It's a good time in my life. But, that happened when our girls were going, girls were growing up. But the focal point of entertainment for the young was, I remember when we came out to Aberdeen, the girls were about, 12, 13, 14?
Beth was 12. I know I only knew the Hattie girls, she was
But anyhow, they didn't have any television, they just had radio. Mm-hmm. And they listened, the boys would become the singing on us around Aberdeen would come to our house. And they on Saturday they didn't have rules. Friday night they could come and stay until 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Monday night they had to be away by 7 o'clock because school was the next day. But they all well behaved, and some of their friends, the girls, would come to it. And one time I remember the principal of school was giving a talk on radio, and he mentioned that how much the sound I can tell you. Maybe I am. How much good it was on the neighborhood to have a family like that move in, and to have the children pay for the children to go.
Meeting
place. And they'd have cookies maybe and cakes maybe on Saturday night. If you meet them and see why the boys liked it down there and the children all liked it so much, which is quite flattering.
Yeah, I think you might leave that one out. that is true, but it sounds like you're blowing your own horn.
Well, that's quite all right. It's interesting.
I mean, it might not look too good in print, if that's what you mean.
When you formed your own oil company, what were some of the problems you had starting it up? And
too numerous to mention.
Money.
Money. The lack of money, the inability to get credit, to borrow, and the amount of money that was needed to operate. If I'd known how much it was going to take, I would never have started.
It's been pretty successful.
Once you did get it started, like, what were some of the duties and responsibilities that you had running the company?
Well, having been with in the oil business all of my working life, I knew a little bit about the operation. But when you form your own company and come out of a big company, where they each had their own departments, repairs and sales and so forth, when you start your own company, you have everything. You have all the problems, and you don't have anybody to fall back on except people who really do help you out when in the time of need. And the business started. I started the oil company in 1938. No, 1948. And without any business at all, started from scratch, and the business grew gradually from then on. And I will say that really, anyone who starts a business is dependent on many friends for help. To be customers and so forth. And for that, I am deeply indebted to a lot of people. And you can't do it alone. It takes help.
When you had this company, did you have any competition from Standard Oil?
No, I didn't have a competition from Standard Oil. Or very little, but had a lot of competition from other competitors who were poor business, and it was at times it was pretty rough, but I was in competition with major oil companies who could give things away to get business that I couldn't afford to do. Okay.
From what areas did you receive the oil? Was it by pipeline, or did you own your own oil fields?
No. I received it by transport truck from the refinery in Baltimore. I started out handling Esso products, and then changed over to City Service, which was a very fine company, and stayed with them mostly until I sold out. Even though at the end I did buy from others because of the scarcity of product and so forth. But some of the things that they had to fight were the for borrowed money. At one time it got as high as 22% and 23%. I don't know. There's many things, trials and tribulations that in a business that you have to fight and try to win over.
Or do you remember any of those, maybe one in particular, one of those fights that you, there was a major one for, I guess, business, one of the more memorable ones or experiences?
No, I really don't remember any one. I know it was an ongoing competitive business, and there didn't seem to be any one thing that sticks out in my mind.
Well, Mrs. Greer, while he owned his company, what was your lifestyle then when he was just getting it started, as then after it grew?
Well, taking care of the family, and I had taken it home.
And what a job she did, taking care of
it. I was a home economics major in college, and but I never taught. I didn't have any intention of teaching, but I managed to do a lot of sewing and cooking and entertaining, and I gave up driving, so I had to give up a lot of outside work, but I did used to do a little work at the hospital, the Health of Memorial, and I belong to an organization, the PEO, which is a philanthropic education organization. They have a college in the West that we support. It is a very high-type organization, and I've met quite a few just very lovely people, very well educated and whatnot. And I guess I've done most of it. We've done a lot of traveling too.
Oh, would you like to maybe share some of your experiences about your travels to different places?
Well, we at home here used to go up to New England twice a year. We love it up there, particularly on the north
Cape
Ann, and then we go to Bahamas once a year in springtime. But we have, of course, traveled around the United States, but we have traveled at Mr. Greer, Bill, as he's called in business, his family name is him. Was interested in art one time, and he did quite a little bit of work. He went up to Harvard Community College and studied art, and he was pretty good. There's an art colony up in Rockport, Massachusetts, and there's some very fine artists up there, and we have a big number of paintings from particularly one artist, what's his name? Aldo P. Hibbert. That are very valuable. Not the old school or anything like that, but they are very valuable. And we've made quite a collection, and we've made a lot of friends. Most of, or quite a few of them, have died now. And but we still go up there and still have friends up there. So we took two art tours with him, two different years. One year he went to Portugal and Spain, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, mostly Portugal and Italy.
And Italy, that's right. And then another year we went to...
Well, they're two different years.
Two different years. Yeah.
Well, 3 years and 3 months, 3 weeks in Portugal and 3 weeks in Italy. From Milan all the way down to Sicily, and we saw a lot. And then we've been to Scotland 3 times.
We've been to England, we've been to Ireland, and we've flown on the Concorde, and we've been on the QE2. And right now we'd be on the QE2 if I would only decide, make up my mind.
I tell you, my wife had a very serious operation a couple of years ago, just 2 years ago, for cancer, and she has apparently come out of that pretty well. She hasn't gotten her strength back like he was, and that is the reason we didn't go or haven't gone this year. But she's coming on.
I know, quite nicely. Oh, when you were
I was going to tell you, Bill is 86 years old, if you believe it.
Yeah, I was born 1900.
No one will give him credit for being that old.
Or what was it like when you founded your own banking, your own bank, the savings and loans?
What
was it like to build that up into a fine establishment?
Well, I was one of several directors, and everybody really chipped in and solicited accounts and get money to operate, and it grew very nicely until we went with Atlantic Federal, a much larger institution. But we started in a little building at the corner in downtown Aberdeen, and then we built the new building that we have about 25 years ago at the corner of Mount Royal and Bellar Avenue here in Aberdeen. And it's been a very satisfactory experience. Okay.
What type of duties did you have when you were running your bank? I'm not very familiar with all the different operations that you did.
Well, I was not an employee of the bank. I was what we call an outside director in person. I had very little to do with the internal working and following all the rules and regulations of the signed for the federal savings and loans. But anyway, I was quite active in day to day work of the bank.
You said you were a major in home economics. What type of things were they teaching you there at the college?
Oh, I had all the arts and science, physics that's going into Greek and calculus and things like that, you know. I'm not very good at mathematics, so I didn't want to get involved with all that. I had clothing and food and art. And then, of course, all the regular academic courses. English and history, and I could have taken up more languages if I had wanted to. I'd had French in high school and Latin, but I got in all kinds of ologies, physiology, sociology, psychology, biology.
I graduated from the University of Delaware in business administration.
When we went to college, University of Delaware is so large now that I think the president said a couple of years ago when we went back, they turned 10,000 applicants away. This is a couple of years ago. When we were in school, I think we had, I think there were hundreds of the women's colleges, the divided the women's college and the men's college. Because our graduating class.
No one now,
I think there were more than 25 in our graduating class, something like that. And now it's so large, it's terrific. And of course, it's rated as a very good school. Well, it always was a good school, but small.
Oh, yeah. With all your home ec courses, did that help you establish some type of child rearing philosophy?
I dealt with child care, and of course it was dealt with food and child care. That's part of the apartment back.
Automobile out of town. I can remember when we had a first telephone, and of course the radio and television came years later. I can remember too. I can remember the Titanic when it went down, and also the Lusitania. I can remember seeing and hearing John Philip Sousa at Willow Grove Park, and also Buffalo Bills Circus. And I was about 6-7 years old at that time, but I remember it very well. I guess things like that, you know, that...
that's interesting.
There wasn't much to do. We didn't have automobiles. We did have bicycles.
We didn't have paved roads. All dirt roads in the yard, and Friday wouldn't let the bridges have bicycles because he was afraid they would get hurt. We spent a lot of time sledding in the wintertime, and ice skating. Yeah, we needed people to pick you up. Did you find that you were having a cousin on the Lusitania?
No.
You had a cousin on the Lusitania?
No, on the Titanic.
Titanic, excuse me.
Well, could you share us maybe about what was that like, the Titanic, as you'd seen it, then the aftermath of that?
Of the Titanic?
Oh, yes. About what your first impressions were about this new ship, and then...
I was too young to remember too much. I think I was 6 years old.
At the time, of course, I read everything in the paper about that sinking. A lot of it was made up, and... like you do in the trust, at that time they did not have, they had just a short time before, and then Marconi invented the wireless. And the only signal by strength that they had for the ship was an SOS signal that went out. And I read all about it, all the made up stories and all the facts of that disaster. And also Lusitania, which was sunk by a German submarine.
Oh, yes.
And, as a matter of fact, I can remember almost from the time I was born.
What was the feeling during the First World War of the Americans? How did they feel about the sinking of the Lusitania and the German submarine warfare? What was the atmosphere like then?
Well, the country was somewhat divided, but between German sympathizers and the English. But the English predominated, and at that time, I think many people, maybe most people, thought we should go to war to help England and the Allies fight. But Woodrow Wilson didn't want to. But the Lusitania, that helped put the cap on it, and we got into it from that point. We really didn't get into the war until 1917.
Did you see any duty during that war?
Did I?
Did you serve during that war for the military? Or
I wasn't in, no. I had just registered when the war was over.
Oh.
And I was too young, really, to... Then in the First World War, I was too old for the Second. So my father was leading a fun life, wasn't he? But I tell you, in the First World War, I wanted to go in that because everything, that was the first war we've been in for many, many years since of the little foot-steep war of the Spanish-American War, which didn't amount to anything. Of course, I don't remember that because that was 1898.
Mm.
But anyway, it was another thing too was that the, all the boys of the sailors that joined the Navy, they had a naval station down in Lewis, Delaware. And the boys in these sailor uniforms would come in and they'd take all the girls, you know. So it was rather glamorous. They used to have a lot of dances and marching bands and much hoopla, you know, to get people to sign up to go to war. But in retrospect, we were left war, a trench war, and I guess maybe I was just well off not having gone.
Well, once the war was ended during the 1920s, how was the atmosphere then compared to during the war?
Well, the most I can say is the weather.
Must be the.
Yeah, you took that off this morning. Oh,
About the 1920s, the difference.
Oh yes. The 1920s were a good time economically until 1929. The stock market was up, and during that time there was much austerity. Right after the war, there was a depression that didn't last too long, and from that point on it went up until the big blowout in 1929, and that lasted for many, many years. I guess you've read about that.
I've heard just from books, but I really haven't known anyone that's lived through that. But what was it like in the Depression when you were working? I guess it was for Standard Oil then.
I was really one of the fortunate ones because I always had a job. But there were so many unemployed that I was. When I was with the I was in the personnel department and interviewed the applicants, and it was very, very sad. In fact, one boy we interviewed apparently hadn't had anything to eat for quite a while, and he fainted. But anyway, at that time they started the 40-hour week, which helped to take up some of the slack by reducing the number of hours missed for had to employ more people, but they couldn't do all of it. The railroads were in bad shape, and engineers, construction and so forth, that type of thing, you know, there just was not any work. But when Second World War came along, that's when things began to get ready for that. That's when when they began to prepare for the Second World War, mostly about 1940 and 1941, things began to pick up then, and since then it's been pretty good. You found anything?
Well, just one last comment. What are some of the changes you've seen develop since you first came to Harford County and since you were in Harford County, such as the roads or the schools, maybe industry, real estate?
Yes, real estate.
We often think about our parents if they could come back now and see what it's like. Maybe got lost. Really, the growth here has been.
That hasn't been too long because his mother's only been gone what?
She died in 58.
Yeah.
But been too long.
Make some of the maybe the road town. And
I thought we missed that. The first time I went to see my wife, she wasn't my wife then. I was with a friend, and therefore was a wide place in the road. And we got too careful because we realized we'd hit it. We had someone come back.
Now, it was part of the problem because so many of the people from the city had moved out. And all these places, these town places that where my father used to go, you know, to attend people, they were all built up with houses. And I would say, on all four sides,
Do you remember from the 40s, the big band era?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was, that was some of the prettiest music, I think, of our lifetime. Of course, back in the Victorian age, they had some nice, pretty music, too.
Hmm.
But, yeah, what a big band era. They, you still miss that music. One that I've never heard mentioned anymore that I used to like so much is Chet Field and his Rippling Rhythm. Did you hear that name?
I'm familiar because I hear that music a lot. Our parents grew up on it.
They both.
I'm very familiar with some of the people in the songs from that era.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, how about changes such as the telephone?